Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ dhammaṃ saṅghaṃ namassāmi. First of all, just to extend the community's good wishes out to all the people who are plugging into the live stream. We hope everybody is doing well, and I mean, we're doing fine. It's nice and quiet here. The Buddha always had us reflect on things that are both, you know, looking at how you know, what appears is not necessarily exactly what it's like. So these are the benefits and the drawbacks and the way out, and there's always and those are always going to be together, so that there's going to be there's certainly drawbacks to having a global pandemic, but then you think, well, is it all doom and gloom and complete misery? I mean, that's certainly part of it, but it's also you know, opportunity for stepping back and say, as a society also, to be able to reflect more clearly where, you know, where are our values? What's actually valuable? What's useful? And what are the ways that we can say, live together as human beings and not just be in competition with each other or be tangled up in each other's story, and being able to, especially when there's some difficulty like this, some untoward circumstance, and there's always the opportunity for a very different response, a response of generosity, of kindness, of sharing, and you know, what can I do to help? What can I be? How can be of service? And that's say that coin is always there, depending which side we're going to look at. So that looking at benefits and drawbacks and recognizing that they tend to be there all the time. Last week I spoke of the protective meditations and one that I'd like to speak of tonight is the cultivation of loving kindness, metta bhavana. that again, recognition that we have the agency to turn our attention in various ways, and so that to consciously direct our attention to loving kindness, and that's both as a of a benefit for ourselves, but also a benefit for others. And when we live with each other as, say, with loving kindness as a foundation, then we have a strong foundation in what is really wholesome, what is skillful, and that it's always possible. In the the word metta in the Pali language it's an ordinary translation of loving kindness, and it's a good term in the sense of, because it is a mixture of that sense of both kindness and care and a certain tenderness, I've been reading a book that, or a manuscript that I was asked to look at, and the author has been translating metta as true friendship. And that's a nice angle, because metta is very strongly related to the word mitta, which literally means friend, and metta is a quality of friendship. But it's kind of like a true friendship, because there's a selflessness there's a caring there, and then that quality of kindness. So that there's a spectrum of meaning that's implied when we whether we use the Pali word metta or even the English translation of loving kindness, because it's hard to capture of these heart qualities in just a word, or even a compound word. So to be reflecting on that in a sense of what are we pointing to? What are we trying to elicit in our hearts when we turn our attention to metta? And in the cultivation of metta, then there's, of course, there's a whole array of different techniques and methodologies, and there's a very traditional format that's laid out in the Visuddhimagga. It's a commentary, a treatise on the path to purity, path of purification. I recently listened to a talk of Bhikkhu Bodhi's where he brings it down to four qualities or four ways of, say, directing attention that I thought was really helpful, because sometimes I mean, we can make our minds a bit too busy trying to develop certain qualities, and if something's fairly simple, fairly clear, it's quite helpful for directing. Because the cultivation of, say, of loving kindness is not just to get all, recite a whole bunch of phrases and get the technique down. It's really about the inner feeling and the that heart quality that is elicited, that we're trying to draw out of our experience, and to make it stronger, make it more present, so that and of course it's helpful to have some structure, in the sense that it's a really nice ideal. Okay, we'll sit in meditation, we will let our minds dwell in boundless kindness and hold the world in a loving embrace. And then you sit down, what the heck am I doing? You know, so that sense of, and of course our minds are so easily scattered, and so just having something fairly simple, fairly repetitive, that helps us to keep on track. So the first sort of quality and kind of direction is, and in the cultivate, the formal cultivation of loving kindness, the very first person that one pays attention to and directs attention to is oneself. That laying that foundation of kindness and care toward oneself and with oneself. That is not a selfish act. That is a very practical and necessary basis to really include oneself. One has to really learn how to care for oneself, certainly in terms of during a time like this, when there is a lot of there's a tremendous amount of uncertainty and anxiety, fear, irritation, frustration, and with a whole range of negative emotions, and it's so important to steep oneself within what that which is, and give that as a gift to oneself, and lay that foundation so that our interactions and our engagements and our perception of the world around us is one that is rooted in loving kindness, in care. So the first sort of way of saying, may I be well, and of course that well meaning more or less on a physical level, may I have good health, may I dwell in well-being, may I have certain ease of body and not be too burdened by the difficulties of illness or too limited, so that there's that wish for may I be well, may I be healthy. May I experience this quality of well-being. And this is a very, on a certain level, it's a very practical wish, because it is helpful to have degree of physical strength, resilience, that lays a foundation for being with things that are happening. And of course, if we do experience limitations of illness, then we can deal with it with kindness. We can deal with it with loving kindness, and also recognizing that these are, say, like metta as a quality is really a doorway into all of the Brahma-viharas. It's really a foundational quality that allows the mind, the heart, to dwell or to appreciate those qualities of, say, the four Brahma-viharas or divine abidings, loving-kindness, compassion, altruistic joy, and equanimity. They say that doorway is important to be paid attention to, and cultivation. May I be well, may I be healthy. And the second is may I be happy. So in that sense of, say, that wellness or health on a physical level, happiness is on the level of the emotion, heart, mind. May I experience happiness. And then all the different spectrum of ways that happiness manifests in terms of joy, a sense of lightness of heart. 'Cause also, as you work with this as a meditation, as a conscious exercise, if you just take a limited set of phrases and you keep repeating them, the mind just gets bored or inured to it. If it's always, may I be well, may I be well, may I be happy. Maybe well, maybe happy. It didn't take that long, and you just become so accustomed to it, so used to it, that the mind switches off. So you have to explore what's that mean? What's it feel like? What's it pointing to? This may I be well. These are all the different spectrum of physical well-being. May I be happy. The whole realm of emotional spectrum of emotion that is related to happiness. It's related to joy, appreciation, sense of delight in the things around me, in this present moment, in the simplicity of an ordinary day, of an ordinary exchange, a human interaction, to be able to enjoy. May I be happy. Reminding oneself, because those are actually choices that we can be making, and we make those choices. We look at, wake up in the morning and it isn't as if it's conscious, but it's sort of, may I be filled with dread and misery and fear and may I be anxious and grumpy. We don't consciously make it, but we are making the choice, really, when it's not conscious, and we either pick up on a mood, or we pick up on an atmosphere of something, or whatever. There's so many stimuli that contact that we make, both internally and externally. And it's that quality of mindfulness and attention that we then direct to skillful choices. And the skillful choice is metta, it's loving kindness. Now, lifting that up into the mind, into the heart. So may I be well, may I be happy, may I be safe, may I be secure. That's it's a very fundamental wish, fundamental need for us as, not even human beings, any being that has a conscious life or consciousness of itself wants to be safe, wants to be secure, wants to experience well-being. It's not the season yet, but even mosquitoes just want to get along with it, get on with their happy life. We're a bit more complex, but we do want to experience safety, security, and how do we direct that attention to making that more conscious and lifting that wish into the heart. And the last quality is that last wish, my good purposes be fulfilled, my wishes to accomplish something, do something, and that doesn't just mean exalted spiritual level. May my good wishes to be free, completely free from suffering and experience full liberation. Yeah, that's a great one to do, but just on our ordinary day, yeah, just the going about our day, going about our life, trying to get that which is wholesome, good, beneficial, done, accomplished, and may that be accomplished. And because it's also when we are able to accomplish something that is, those good purposes, those good intentions, it brings benefit to ourselves, but it also brings benefit to others. So those are four sort of clusters of we'll say wishes or intentions to seed the the mind with, for that eliciting of that quality of loving kindness, and to be so, yeah, may I be well, and it's to learn how to play with it in terms of, because also using say language, you know, finding words that are meaningful, and I express that spectrum. May I be happy? Imagery, using imagery, because for some people, language and words have importance. For some people, imagery, sound. These are all things, you know, what is it that works? What's helpful? What helps to elicit a particular feeling of metta, of loving kindness? As we direct that toward ourselves, and again, it's not just to say get the phrases right or get some clever new phrase which you're really chuffed about. It's what is it that helps elicit a feeling of warmth, a feeling of care, a sense of that holding oneself with care, and certain solicitous, being solicitous toward oneself, caring deeply. So that's an experience that one feels. As opposed to an idea or a rational thought. Because on a certain level, rationally, of course, we know we should be kind, but it's eliciting that quality, that feeling, the experience of that, and letting that settle within oneself, so that it's and in particular that it's actually felt in the heart. It's not just sort of some sort of abstract concept up in the head that one's trying to figure out. It's bringing it down on it into an experiential level, and it's where that the practice of the Buddha's path is also one that we are embodying. We're bringing it in to this whole body-mind experience so that we can embody it, let it... it's almost like letting our whole being bathe or soak in loving kindness, and that sense of like now it's sort of winter time. Like having a nice warm bath, soaking, and just relaxing into it fully, letting that feeling go through the whole body. establishing that foundation. And as one establishes that more with more stability, then one can start to extend that wish for loving kindness to include others. And a traditional way, after one has laid that foundation for oneself, then to be extending that to a respected mentor or a respected relative, could be mother, father, teacher. But hey, it's someone who is one holds in respect and cares for, and one has a debt of gratitude towards, maybe, and so then to establishing that wish, may that person. And then bringing the image to mind, the person to mind, holding that, and may they be well, may they be healthy, may they be happy, may they be safe, may all their good purposes be fulfilled. And working with that, extending. One of the things that I've found personally for cultivation of loving kindness is, especially when it starts to, using the idiom, spreading loving kindness to somebody else, rather than holding that image or concept, as am I out there, I found it after having established this feeling or quality of loving kindness, then it's more like holding the space within the heart and inviting them in. And so there's a stable foundation there that actually starts to get, more stable, more spacious, and allowing more space for those beings to be included in this experience of loving kindness, of metta. So that invitation or that wish for the, say, the respected mentor, respected relative, to be. Then one extends the loving kindness to family, and the sense of family, friends, people who one is close to, has a natural feeling of affinity and warmth for, and then to bringing those people to mind and directing that wish, may they be well, may they be happy, may they be safe, may all their good purposes be fulfilled. And as one as one works with that, and it becomes more stable, more solid, then extending out to people who are neutral, and when, you know, it's not a strong feeling either way. We share this world with a lot of people, and and it's helpful to, you know, there's all sorts of people who we have contact with, but we don't know them so well, or don't have a strong feeling either way, but they're to establish that wish for their well-being, to lift up that quality of metta, and that extending the quality, so that it includes even those people who are neutral. One has some contact, one could have all sorts of impressions or projections, but you know quite rationally that you don't know them well enough to and then extending that feeling out. And then once the mind, the heart is well established with that, then and the challenging people can be invited in, and the ones who once has some conflict with or some that's uncomfortable around them, has some has maybe had some unpleasant interaction, you haven't really been able to let go of it, and then there's an abiding perception of, you know, that's a person I don't like, they shouldn't be like that. recognizing that there's Dhammapada, verse 5. It's right in the very early part of the Dhammapada, and hatred is never appeased by hatred, or it's never conquered by hatred. Hatred is conquered by non-hatred. This is an eternal law. It's always been like this. And oftentimes, in the Pali and in the Buddha's teachings, the Buddha will posit things in a negative form, in order to open up the spectrum of the degree of positive response that can be elicited, so that non-hatred opens up to loving kindness, compassion, empathy, generosity of spirit, all sorts of things. All of that would be under the heading of non-hatred, and so that is how one counters the negativity, aversion, ill will that can be so much a part of the world around, and oftentimes in terms of our perception of the world is so much. You know, we get our perception through media and the old adage in media if it bleeds it leads, and that in the sense of it's somehow sensational, or grab it attention, and it's actually kind of negative. And that's that's what sells. But it isn't what makes us comfortable or happy. So that to be taking responsibility for setting up one's own filters and the establishing that foundation of loving kindness in the heart, and because in reality, and it becomes even more clear as we experience difficulties, and the way that we're going to get through a period of difficulty and adversity is through helping each other out, being attentive to each other's needs, caring for each other, paying attention to how can I help? How can I be of service? What would be something that would be worthy of what would be make somebody else feel some sense of safety and well-being, and that with the chanting there's a phrase in the Karaniya Metta Sutta, the Buddha's words on loving kindness. Sukhino wa kemino hontu sambhesata bhavantu sukhitata. And it can be translated, of course, many ways. The way that we tend to translate is wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. And that's but that sense of gladness and ease. Those are words that are translated from sukhino. Kemino. Kemino is safe, secure, stable. And that Sambhesata is all beings, may all beings, wishing in gladness and safety, may all beings be at ease. Because in reality, that is what all beings wish for. And to be a part of that, to take that in, recognize it. Of course, that's what we feel. You know, when we, you know, may I be well, may I be happy. I mean, that's really what we want. We truly desire that. Yeah, may I be safe. May my good purposes be fulfilled. It is what we all feel or wish, and all beings do have that same wish. So that to be consciously cultivating that quality of loving kindness. And it, when we look at it in that way also, I mean, it's also, I mean, it's not just a technique to get a bit of relief and make yourself feel better for a bit so that you can find something else to obsess about. But as we elicit that, contemplate that, find a foundation in that, that leads the mind, the heart, to very expansive qualities. And the more expansive it is, yeah, the less room there is for that I, me, and mine program. I think it should be like this. And of course, I'm always right, so. Or me, you know, what about me? And this is mine, this should be mine, I want it for me. And that, of course, that really gets in the way. That as we have that, open that window of loving kindness, then there's that expansive quality, that space, is a space that we can recognize. Oh, whenever we bring that I, me, and mine program, there's suffering. This is uncomfortable. This is unpleasant. This is really not working for me or for anybody, really. And that's an insight. It's part of the, you know, the Buddha's path is always laying those foundations for insight into suffering and the end of suffering. And that conscious cultivation of of metta bhavana is not just a helpful tool. It's a really important life skill, especially if you don't want to suffer. Okay, offer that for reflection, see.
Andamayam namadhyaya sadhukaram dadamase
sadhu 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 anumodami.
So we're going to close with a chant in book 1.
Question on universal well-being in English, page 41. And now let us chant the reflections on universal well-being.
May I abide in well-being, in freedom from affliction, in freedom from hostility, in freedom from ill will, in freedom from anxiety, and may I maintain well-being in myself. May everyone abide in well-being, in freedom from hostility, in freedom from ill will, in freedom from anxiety, and may they maintain well-being in themselves. May all beings be released from all suffering, and may they not be parted from the good fortune they have attained. For when they act upon intention, all beings are the owners of their action and inherit its results. Their future is born from such action, companion to such action, and its results will be their home. All actions with intention, be they skillful or harmful, of such acts they will be healed.